Thank you very much for your time today, Senator Tester. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
The legislation that you're working on for hiring in government, tell me specifically what it would address and what agencies would have flexibility-wise that they don't today.
Well, basically, it will help streamline the hiring process so that applicants for one job could be considered for another job if they were turned down. Let me give you an example. Let's say the Forest Service has an opening in land management. They're going to take applications. They might get four or five really good applicants. They've got to pick, so they pick the one that they want. So now you've got three or four folks out there that are very well qualified, and the BLM might be looking for a land manager. Well, if they get an agreement with the BLM and Forest Service, which isn't that big of a deal, then the BLM could go and take a look at those three or four really good people at the Forest Service, and if they met their needs, they could hire those folks. It would reduce the amount of time taken. It would for the person looking for a job. Basically, it would allow them to get into other agencies if they were turned down for the initial offering. Mm-hmm. And so I really think what it is, it will speed up the hiring process. So what's good about that? Well, if you've got underperforming folks you want to get rid of, one of the concerns is how do you replace them, and how do you replace them in a timely manner? This, I think, speeds up the hiring process so that they can be replaced in a more timely manner. And the other thing it does is if you've got really highly qualified people, and we have a lot of highly qualified people that apply for these jobs, I know because they apply for the jobs that I have, you can't pick them all.
Right.
So you pick the one you think will do the best job and fit the needs for your particular agency, and then somebody else can come in and say, you know what, that person looks pretty darn good. We'll hire them for our agency. And so it gives agencies more flexibility, and it gives the folks looking for jobs the ability to know that they're going to be considered not only for this job, but for some other jobs down the pipe. And you know, and then it's up to them whether they accept the job second time around.
And the agency flexibility is really important. Agencies across government tell me that is their biggest challenge right now, is narrowing that candidate pool quickly because
That's exactly right.
Applications pour in off usajobs.gov.
That's exactly right. There are plenty of folks looking for jobs. There's an opportunity here to take the work that one agency's done, refining that list of job applicants, and utilizing it probably for the same type of a job in another agency.
Mm-hmm. This legislation addresses a pretty specific part of the federal HR process,
yes.
The hiring process.
Right.
When you pull back and look at it more broadly, what do you see as issues that you want to address?
Well, I think we want to get the best people we possibly can in government. I've worked with a lot of these folks at the state and now the federal level, and they're very committed to this country and very committed to the jobs that they do. So you need good people. And if you get good people, it makes the agencies run a lot smoother. The problem has always been, at least from my perspective, looking from the outside as a legislator, is that a lot of these agencies simply don't have the time because they've got so much other work to do to get through the process of sorting out a lot of these employees. So consequently, they can't get the best folks that they want, or they'd make the attempt, but there are other folks out there, agencies have already done the due diligence on, that they could get if we get our bill passed and through Congress. These agencies will be able to go into other agencies that have already done the legwork and save them time, save them a lot of process, help the employees, get the best people they need. It's just a win-win deal all the way around.
Last time you and I spoke, we talked about the clearance process and the work that you wanted to do in your committee on that. Are you seeing progress there, sir?
Well, we're still working at it. I mean, we're not where we want to be yet, but we continue to work on the process about the number of folks that have clearances and the process they go through, who has oversight over the companies that do the vetting, and as we talked previously, Francis, this is a very, very important issue from a national security standpoint. This is one of those issues that we can't make any mistakes on. And I think that it's fairly obvious that some of these contractors have not done a particularly good job. I think they can if they know they're being watched, if they know that there's oversight. And so we're not where we need to be yet, but we're working on it. We're still working on it. Things don't happen overnight in Congress, you know that. And so you've got to be patient. But by the same token, you still have to apply pressure.
Senator John Tester, my guest. Go back to your legislation for a moment. The hiring process is convoluted in a number of other ways. There have been some questions about usajobs.gov, as I mentioned earlier. Are there other parts of the hiring process that you think could use some oversight from your committee or a legislative remedy? Or is it just a matter of really OPM smoothing out their process, do you think?
Well, I think it's giving the agencies the ability to work together and making it their call. If they want to do this, they can do it. I don't see any downside of it, of allowing them to work together. I think we've got to be careful, too, though. I mean, take a look at the VA, for example. I mean, I am all for, if somebody's not doing their job, showing them the door. But they have to have their due process. And I think that if you take a look at the Senate and the House bill that were up, there's really no due process for the employees. And I think they need their due process. Now, maybe shortening it up is appropriate. But I think when you're looking for good employees, and it doesn't matter if you're talking about Department of Agriculture, if you're talking about the VA or anything in between those things, people are going to look at these jobs and they're going to ask themselves, am I going to be treated fairly? And that will have an impact for the very best of the best to be able to apply for these jobs. So I think we've got to be careful as we try to get rid of folks who aren't doing the job to make sure that they have due process for the folks who are doing the job, but maybe are unfairly categorized.
Secretary Gibson was before your the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee last week. You're a member of that committee, and you expressed some pretty serious concerns about that legislation in that committee, not just about the due process parts.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's issues with due process. There's issues with privatization of the VA. There's issues about where we're going to move the VA to. Are we going to keep it an incredibly good healthcare system and improve upon that healthcare system where 9 out of 10 veterans think it's pretty darn good? Where the problem has been access, are we going to address access, or are we just going to try to privatize the whole system? And I think there are those that think we should just privatize it. Well, look, I'm in the private system. I can tell you it's not all cherry there. They have their issues, too, and there's not an inspector general out there doing oversight over it. So, look, we've got it. The VA has its problems. We need to make those the access issues go away by investing some money in docks and facilities and then try to improve in other areas. But I think there are some in Congress who want to privatize the VA. They want to contract it all out. I don't necessarily think that's good for the veteran or the taxpayer. And as I said from the get-go, we need to keep the veterans in the forefront when we're talking about any changes to the VA.
The workforce issues in this VA bill obviously have been of great concern to my audience because of the due process issue that you talked about. But I also hear a subtext from other folks in the VA who say, we consider ourselves part of the good guys, and we would like to be able to see the folks that are not doing the right thing moved out.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, look, if you're working in any agency, if you've got a bad actor, they're going to reflect badly upon the people who are working their butt off to get the job done right. So I agree 100%. If you got folks that are not doing the job, there's got to be a way to move them out. I just think you can carry this too far, and you could literally have a situation like this where I would walk into VA Montana's director and say, I don't like that person, get rid of them, whether they're doing a good job or not, and they potentially could be out the door. That's not right. That's not fair. They need to have their due process. But you're right. It can't be so involved that you can never get rid of anybody.
Mm-hmm. What did you take away from that hearing? What was your – when you walked out of the room, what did you know or not know that you – wanted to when you went in there?
What I took out of that hearing was that there are a lot of people that are balking at the cost of bringing on more docs, more nurses, more administrative personnel to cut down the access issue. And quite frankly, some of those same people who are balking about the cost of taking care of our veterans never said a peep when they were here and we invaded Iraq, or never said a peep when we just put 800 soldiers back into Iraq, or never even bat an eye when we talk about pumping a bunch of money into Ukraine or pumping a bunch of money into Syria. Look, taking care of our veterans is a cost of war, and if we're going to enter these wars, it's incumbent upon us as a country to take care of these folks when they come back and take care of their injuries. So I came away with a feeling that folks thought that the problems of the VA were just going to be taken care of with a wave of a magic wand. It's not. It's going to take manpower, and it's going to take facilities, and it's going to take a concerted effort by leadership, all the way through middle management, all the way to the folks who are working on the ground, to make sure we treat our veterans the way they need to be treated. Now, I always go back to, there's problems with access. We need to deal with it. But we also need to keep in mind, as we deal with the access issue, that 9 out of 10 veterans, once they get through the door, like the health care they're getting. We can't screw that up.
Mm-hmm. Let's tie together a couple of these threads then, Senator. The ability to hire, say, doctors and nurses in the veterans health care system is impacted by a couple of things. Your hiring bill would address part of that. There's the crisis of confidence there. Mr. McDonald is on the Hill today for his confirmation hearing. How do you see all of these things fitting together and helping to improve VA, the talent that would be able to come in thanks to the bill that you're proposing, at least faster, and all of these other issues, tamping down that crisis of confidence and so
well,
on?
I think all this stuff will come together, whether it's the confirmation of McDonald or whether it's, I think, it's the $17 billion that the VA asked for last week in the VA hearing that we had on the state of VA, or whether it's the conference committee bill that the House and the Senate each passed versions, not widely apart, but a little bit, that's in conference right now. I think this is all dependent on whether the veterans' issues are played politics with.
Mm-hmm.
If we play politics, House, Senate, Democrats, Republicans, then we're not going to be able to address the access issues in a very, very thoughtful and way that gets to a solution. On the other hand, if we sit down, I'm as fiscally conservative as anybody in this body, and I'm a Democrat. You can't just throw money at stuff and expect things to be solved. It has to be directed. And that's where the VA secretary is so important. They have to spend the money where they get the most bang for the buck and get the problem solved. And I really think in Montana VA, because that's the one I know, it's about nurses, doctors, the right administrative personnel, the right folks that can deal with mental health on the ground. They might not be a doctor, might be a psychiatrist or a psychologist, or it may be a family counseling group. But you've got to get those right people in place if you're going to solve the problems, because they're very complex, and it's not like regular civilian folks. When they go in, especially where, I mean, we're seeing a lot more Vietnam vets that are getting up in age, coming in, that have serious problems, you don't just hustle those people in the door and kick them out the back door and have their problem solved. It takes time. So you've got to have the personnel to address those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And this will only be solved if we work together as a group of Democrats and Republicans to say, hey, this is important to us. It's important to the country. We need to solve the problem. Let's give them the resources they need and the oversight that needs to happen and demand excellence. And I think the folks in the VA, in fact, I know the folks in the VA will step up and they will deliver that excellence that we're so accustomed to.
Final question, Senator Tester. In the Veterans Affairs Committee, is it your sense that the members and staff are taking a look at the long-term demographic changes that VA and their constituency will undergo so that 5, 10, 15 years from now, we're not, the agency's not in the same position it's in today?
That's a very good question. I think there are members of the staff that are taking a look at it. We tend in Congress to jump from disaster to disaster. And I think we see it every week. And a few months ago, it was the VA. We've bumped up their appropriations since I got here pretty significantly. But I don't know of anybody that sat down and said, this is what we're going to need because of Afghanistan. This is what we're going to need because of Iraq. This is what we're going to need because of the first Mideast War. This is what we're going to need because our Vietnam vets are getting older. To really project it out, what we're going to need 5, 10, 15 years from now. I think there are staff that are doing that. But I don't know that information has been widely distributed. The other issue out there is there's a lot of veterans that don't even get into the VA. They don't even go there. And what kind of outreach the VA does will determine whether some of those veterans that have never accessed the VA start accessing the VA. So there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle, so to speak. But I am not familiar of any metrics that have been set up that we've been able to take a look at as a committee.
Senator, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Francis, a pleasure.